Well, it's great to see such a wonderful turnout on this Friday during Lent. I encourage you to keep up that practice of daily Mass and daily communion during this Lenten season. In today's scriptures, we have one common theme, and that is fasting. We see the prophet Isaiah talking about fasting, and we see here in Matthew chapter 9, the disciples of John the Baptist come up to the Lord and say, why do we, as disciples of John the Baptist, fast much and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples are not fasting? Well, Jesus gives the answer that at that time, it was not the time for fasting. You can't fast while the bridegroom is still with you. But he does predict, though, the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, and then his disciples will fast at that time. So just as you, when you go to a wedding banquet, you go to a wedding reception, you don't fast during the wedding reception as you're celebrating with the bride and his groom. But the days will come when the party's over and you go back, and then you will fast. So Jesus says that his disciples will be known for fasting. And for the last 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has been the one church that has been encouraging its members to fast on regular intervals. Ash Wednesday, Good Fridays, Fridays during Lent. In fact, every Friday during the year is supposed to be a day in which we do some form of penance of our own choice. It could be not eating meat, or it could be some other sacrifice that we choose as well, of our own choice. So the Catholic Church has encouraged fasting for years. And of course, in the early days of the Church, the fasting was much more severe than the mitigated fast that we have now. So the Church realizes that, you know, Jesus is the bridegroom. He is the spouse of our soul, and he has now gone up to heaven. It's true we have him here in the tabernacle. Of course, he's never left us because he's in the Blessed Sacrament. But he will come again in glory. And until that time, we fast. And we pray during the liturgical seasons of Lent. And of course, in some respect, even in Advent, we use that as a time of preparation for Christmas. So the Church has always encouraged times and seasons of fasting. Fasting is good for the body and good for the soul. For example, people that might give up a meal can then use that money and give it to the poor. By fasting, we can show we want to be detached from the things of this world to be more attached to the things of God. The time we save from eating a large meal, we can then use that time for something else: prayer, spiritual reading, works of mercy, the apostolate. So fasting has a great deal of benefit to us, you know, physically as well as spiritually. Now, when we fast, though, we have to follow the words of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was saying that some kind of fasting is pleasing to God, but some kind of fasting is displeasing to God. Isaiah says, if your fast ends in quarreling and fighting, what good is that? Your fast should not make you uncharitable. Uncharitable to your spouse, to your children, to your family members. Fasting should make us more charitable. And Isaiah talks about the manner of fasting that is pleasing to God. Not just lying around in sackcloth and ashes. That's not what God wants. He says, is that the kind of fasting I want? Just bowing your head to the ground like a reed, lying about in sackcloth and ashes? Is that acceptable to the Lord? No. He says, rather, this is the kind of fasting that I want. Fasting that includes sharing your bread with the hungry, sheltering the oppressed and the homeless, clothing the naked when you see them, not turning your back on your own, freeing those unjustly bound, forgiving others. See, this is the kind of fasting that is pleasing to God, fasting that shows forth in works of mercy, in the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, in charity to our neighbor. See, that's what this is. Then Isaiah says, And if you do these things, your light will shine forth like the dawn, your wounds shall be healed, your vindication shall go before you, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And then when you pray, when you call upon the Lord, He will answer. And you shall cry out for help, and He will say, "Here I am."